found you very amusing. Your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am freshly back from Dollywood, a sentence I honestly did not know I would ever be able to say. We did it! We did it, y'all. We made it to Dollywood and back, and I'm going to tell you everything. This place was so much better, different, surprising, more unexpected than I ever could have imagined. I had this thing that I pictured in my head that was Dollywood, and it's not what this was. It's not what this was, and I cannot wait to tell you all the details. But in the meantime, we have two things we have to talk about quickly at the top of the show. One is that, okay, last night I went to this Spirit Jersey Star Wars event, which, by the way, a Sunday night party, signed me up 1,000 times over. It was heaven. And I've never been a Spirit Jersey girly. I don't know why I got like, excuse me. I got like choked up as I said that. I've never really been much of a Spirit Jersey girly. They didn't speak to me. They didn't speak my language. They weren't really calling out to me. But I walked in the door of this party and I saw a Spirit Jersey on a mannequin and went, that! Like, I literally stopped my tracks and pointed at it because it slayed so hard. It was so good. I have been changed by this party. It's not often you go to a party and you're like, I've emerged a different person. Oh my gosh. Don't be sleeping on Spirit Jersey. Like, the stuff they sell on their website, which is something I didn't even know they did. Again, like, not a Spirit Jersey girly. I am forever changed by this and the Star Wars ones that, by the time you listen to this, I might have posted the video, but I might not have. So if not, you're getting an early heads up to check it out because, ooh, they were so good. The other thing I have to tell you about is we finally got the Rock and Roller Coaster set list. And it's a little hee hee ha ha because it's like, oh, we know the songs, but we don't know what they're going to sound like because they're performed by Electric Mayhem with some stars in it. Like, we don't know what they're going to sound like, so it's exciting to know the music. But I need to know. I need to get my butt in that seat. I need to be hearing the songs while I'm sitting there. And I guess I'm going to have to ride Rock and Roller Coaster a zillion times to be able to hear all these songs because I simply must. I am pretty happy with the song mix simply because I know they chose these to go with the ride. On its own, wouldn't have expected a lot of these picks, but I have faith because remember, when we saw the set list for Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, it was like, what? Everybody wants to rule the world? What? But all the songs worked so brilliantly on that ride. And so I have faith that whoever is choosing has chosen the best songs possible for us to hear the gang performing on. I really can't believe, I know that it feels like we're in an alternate universe most of the time, but that alternate universe in this fever dream brought us a Muppets upside down roller coaster. Okay? The fact that when you walk out your door today and you see a child, I want you to point at them in your head, not physically, because that'll be a little strange. I want you to point at them and go, your first upside down roller coaster could be featuring the Muppets. Did you ever expect that for the youth of America? Because I surely did not, and I'm so psyched about it. But enough about our Muppety friends. Today we are talking about Dollywood, and I'm not going to wait any longer because this episode has been in the works for so freaking long that I just can't wait to start it. Stick around. We'll be back so soon with more Dollywood. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Carly. How are you today?
I'm great because I woke up to a text from you. And if you were texting me before I get up that there are deals, I know that a lot is happening.
Disney is going off the rails once again with Walt Disney World. They just opened up Get a Free Dine Plan. So purchase a non-discounted minimum four-night, four-day package that includes a room at a select resort and a ticket with park hopper option for arrivals. Ready for this?
I'm ready. So, I'm so ready.
Okay. Excellent. June 28th to October 3rd.
Ooh.
Wait, there's more. Oh. October 9th to October 31st. And if you thought I was done, I'm not. Includes also December 6th to December 21st.
No.
Yes. And if you book a deluxe or a villa, you get a free Disney dining plan. If you book a moderate or value, you get a quick service plan. And you have to book by April 30th to get in on this deal. But can you imagine from now to the end of the year, you can get free dining?
And like enjoy the holidays?
Yeah.
Exactly. All of the holidays?
It's going to be around the holidays, but still a lot of people.
Becky, you know around these parts, we start Halloween in August.
Well, okay. I'll give you that one. You're certainly correct. Probably what, August 3rd at this point?
Yeah, practically.
There's also an opportunity to save up to 30% on rooms alone for late summer to early fall. So that's going to be arrivals from July 30th to October 3rd. You can save up to 30% on 5 or more nights, up to 25% for 1 to 4 consecutive nights. But if you're a Florida resident, you can also get up to 35% off. But if you're a pass holder, you can save up to 40% off the same dates.
Whoa, okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Now there's one other little thing they've kind of pulled out of the vault, so to speak. If you remember the 4-day four park magic ticket, this comes from long time ago and it starts at 109 per day. Plus tax. So the total is about $436 plus tax. The ticket includes one admission to each of the four theme parks. So you go 4 days, one day at Magic Kingdom, one day at Animal Kingdom, one day at Epcot, and one day at Hollywood Studios. And this is a date-based ticket from May 26 to September 26. And the ticket has to be used within 7 days of the start date. So that has returned. Isn't that amazing?
Becky, that's bonkers because I know they had that one that they floated out last year where they were like, every park but Magic Kingdom. So Magic
Right.
Kingdom being in, like being part of this ticket for under
Exactly.
$450, you can see every park at Disney World
And
over
over
4 days.
the summer, and in the summer when all the kids are out of school, imagine that.
Wow. I mean, thank you, global warming, maybe, but I will
Just
be
bring a
buying one
fan.
of these.
Portable fan. Portable fan, you're good to go.
I just want to emphasize to anyone listening, part of the reason why we do this and why I love having Becky on the show is because there are so many of these offers and they are so annoying to parse through yourself on the website. And a travel, Becky's laughing, and a travel agent will help you navigate all of this to be like, oh, if you move this one night, you can get a better deal. Or if you do this, like,
Right.
yeah, like you want, they're like scientists when it comes to this. So you want them on your team and on your side to do all this, and they will do it all for free.
And you definitely have to have that because you have so many different offers that are out there, but sometimes the offer isn't the best deal.
Whoa.
Sometimes if you like if there's a free dine offer, which is a non-discounted room, sometimes if you do the math correctly and it works out right, you can do one of the 30% off or 35% off room offers, add the dining and actually get a better deal. So there's different ways to do the math on this. So when you get a ton of offers out there, let someone like us at Mousepan Travel help you to put it together and find the best deal out of all of the ones that are in front of you.
Wow, thank you so much, Peggy. Blair's gonna be getting an email, I can tell you that.
See you in a minute.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more, like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork, refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer, or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in, all with the style you want and reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG Appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Dollywood episode. The day has come. I made it there and I made it back in one freaking piece. Now, we are going to get deep into Dollywood in this episode because what a unique gem this place is. Spoiler alert, I already told you, but we low-key loved it to the point where I can't believe it took me this long to go here. It's one of those things where people are like, you gotta see it. People keep telling me, you gotta go to Silver Dollar City. Am I gonna make it to Silver Dollar City? I don't know. It's far away and it's not really like the number one thing on my to-do list. Dollywood was just always there. I was like, yeah, there's a tour bus and like she loves butterflies. I guess I'll make it there. I did not prioritize it. And I can't believe that I lived this long, that I did this job for so long without knowing what this whole thing was. And if you are into Disney and Universal and you're like, I don't know about this place, you're going to be very glad you listened to this episode because I guarantee if you did not have Dollywood on your immediate travel radar, you're either going to be fully convinced to go or wholeheartedly know it's not for you. Yeah, I'm not here to just preach about Dollywood and convince you to go. I'm going to tell you about my experience, but you, I think, are going to walk away from this episode being like, oh, I need to book a flight. Or, you know what? Cross it off. This place is not my bag. And I cannot wait to help you make that decision today because As you know, this trip is rooted in so much lore at this point. Truly so much lore about us trying to get to this freaking Tennessee theme park. And we're going to do a full-scale recap because I just have so much to tell you about. Because Dollywood is so much more than a theme park. Yeah, I am calling this a theme park, a distinguishing factor I do not give to most non-Disney, non-Universal properties. Not even SeaWorld is getting that moniker, okay? Dolly, or like, I don't know, Dolly Inc. Oh my God, her company should be called Dolly Inc. Whoever runs her business, they have their hands in a bunch of different businesses around town in the neighboring Pigeon Forge, which is a strip of mostly tourist junk that you've never seen in your life, mixed with stuff we actually liked doing. But the Dolly presence here is so big that it adds this fun thematic layer to doing anything in the area. Truly, Dolly Inc. has, again, that should be her. That's like Shondaland. It's so good. Dolly Inc. Oh man. Dolly has 3 dinner theaters in operation here. 3. And they're also in other cities, according to the sheet of paper menu that was under the Cornish guinea hen that I ate with my hands. Like, if you thought Hoop-Dee-Doo was a big deal, imagine if the crowd was 10 times bigger and there were horses jumping through fire. That is what Dolly Parton's Stampede was, and that is what I am saying. This town is wild, and some of y'all gotta be seeing it. So, to view our trip to Dollywood through the lens of all the mania it took for us to actually get there, I just want to start by bringing everyone up to speed because, again, I finally made it to Dollywood. If you recall, way back in 2025, I traveled with my friend Heather and Kelsey, and AJ from Disney Food Blog was meeting us at Dollywood. We woke up so early, we got to the airport, and we slowly watched as delay after delay after delay after delay after delay, because there were 5 of them. We waited and waited and saw the glimmer of hope of us actually making it to Dollywood that day. Absolutely flicker. Oh my goodness. I gotta drink more of this coffee. Flicker away and disappear. Our dream for going to Dollywood that we had planned for so long. We had a shared Google Doc. We had an itinerary. I do this thing where I have like the itinerary and then I have backup stuff. So if we spontaneously are like, oh, we have free time, which we do, we have a go-to hit list. We had so much stuff dialed in and we abandoned it while at LAX, booked a flight and booked a car on our laptops, on our phones, and immediately pivoted, took our carry-on bags, and we flew to Orlando with no Disney World stuff on us. If you remember, AJ, our beloved author of Disney Adults, esteemed colleague, a friend of the pod, a former podcast guest, AJ just ended up going to Dollywood. She stayed for like 2 days, was like, I don't need to go to Disney World. I'm going to do Dollywood and I'm going to bounce. And so AJ did not make it on that trip. Now, AJ was in play for this trip, but the timing didn't work out. She is going to Dollywood soon. And so it didn't make sense to go twice in a row. So we ended up inviting our friend Brandon. Brandon has, you know, I've been on Brandon's podcast, Gooping and Gagging. I'm pretty sure Brandon's been on this podcast. Yeah? Brandon has to have been on this podcast. But Brandon is an occasional guest on Alicia Stella's podcast. Brandon is a dear friend. We met because I was at Universal Studios Hollywood and I was meeting the glitter troll. And then Brandon said hi after and then he followed me. And now we spent the entire week together. That's just the beauty of the internet. So Brandon took AJ's spot. We had a 4-room cabin and we made it work. We all made it to Dollywood. So let me explain. So in the days leading up to this trip, we're all like on a group text chatting nonstop, being like, ooh, hope it goes well. Like, we were all worried about jinxing this because we didn't want anything bad to happen. Again, last time we were so excited and it just fell apart. It takes so long to get to Dollywood from California. You have to connect. And so we were flying LAX to Atlanta and then Atlanta to McGee Tyson Airport, which I believe is in Knoxville. You have to connect. And so we were like, we'll connect through Atlanta. That's Delta's hub. It'll be great. It was not great. It was not great. 3 out of 3 flights through Atlanta got. Okay? Yeah. Our flight home was a situation also. Delta got us on this one. First flight of the day out of LAX to their hub, you'd think it'd be fine. Twice we got. So anyway, we're pretty discombobulated before we go on this trip. We're all packing last minute. Our friend Kelsey is joking about how she has PTSD with the D standing for Delta. We bought our tickets to Dollywood truly 2 weeks before because we were like, oh, we don't want to be locked in and have to beg people for credits again like we did last time. We just were like, oh man, hope it works. And you know, most people would think that was anxiety, but now it was foresight. because we were all, you know, chit-chatting, trying to figure out, like, what are we going to pack? Is it cold? Is it hot? And then we got the text. We got the text. It popped up on my phone. Your flight is delayed 555 minutes. 555 minutes. I get this text at like 8:45 p.m. Our flight is at 6 a.m. the following morning. Okay, I had to wake up at like 4 a.m. to get on a plane. I am finishing packing. I'm like sweating through my clothes trying to get everything to fit. And they're like, just kidding, girly. You're flying out at the end of the day and we have no idea if you're going to get to Knoxville tomorrow or at all. If you saw my video online, you already know what happened. My husband arrived home at the exact right time. And as the brains of any operation he is involved in, he went on the Delta website as we were sitting catatonic, four people FaceTiming being like, should we go on a cruise? Should we go to Seattle? Should we go to Orlando? Like, I was no joke on the Disney World website looking up hotel prices when he came home. And he was like, you guys are out of your mind. We were so traumatized. And he was like, looked at the website with his analytical brain and was like, okay, you're going to take this flight out of LAX. There are seats for everybody. You can get an aisle seat. You're going to book it. Everybody press book. Everybody did it. And we were saved. We made it to the airport for this 9 a.m. flight. We made it on the plane. We made our connection in Atlanta. We made it to Knoxville and we got there and we're like, oh, it's on. Like cowboy boots on the ground in Tennessee, ready to freaking go. Our luck was ready to turn around and we snatched it. The rental car place offered us a Jeep and I was like, yes, sir, I will take it. Much to the future dismay of our friends who sat in the back, but as someone who was driving and in the passenger seat, ooh, it freaking rocked. Nothing feels more like I am here and I am visiting. I am on a vacation than riding in a Jeep. Have you ever rented a Jeep in Hawaii? Rolling up to one of those local beaches in your Jeep? Ooh, heaven. It is my dream car. It is truly my dream car. And I didn't even know about this Jeep community of ducks, like bathtub ducks. I guess there's this thing when like people have Jeeps and they give each other ducks because people kept talking to us about it because we were driving a Jeep and we were like, cool, what is this? And if I, as someone who, you know, celebrates holidays that aren't Christmas, I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't have a tchotchke holiday, which means like if I had a holiday where I would hang toys on a tree, it would be game over for everyone. I don't have that. But if I had a Jeep and I was involved, in this duck exchange, I could like fill my car with little tchotchkes in front and people would be like, nice, that's cool. And not like, ma'am, please clean out your car. You're an adult and there's spider webs everywhere. It would be so lovely. I want a Jeep so bad. I want a Jeep so bad. Anyway, having the Jeep, fantastic. So we get into town late because of course our flight was 3 hours later than we anticipated. Everything's off kilter. And we take, boom, a straight shot to Buc-ee's. And if you're like, honey, can you stop and tell us about the park? We are getting there. It's going to happen in like 2 seconds. I went way too hard at Buc-ee's on the fresh jerky. Last time I remember it being fresher. I do remember things tasting better in the past than they probably did. But this was pretty tough. I still spent $25 on it anyway because I couldn't help myself. And I just like, you know, okay, I traveled for like 200 hours to get there. I just wanted some salted meat as though I'd made it this far on the Oregon Trail because it actually felt like that. You know what I mean? It's fine. I made a coffee at Buc-ee's. I'm sure you saw my video because I yelled so hard it probably reached you through your phone without you voluntarily clicking on it. But I put pecan syrup in it, $1.99. Anybody in LA would lose their minds at the thought of that. We picked up snacks for the cabin. We picked up a bunch of waters and we moseyed our way to our new home for multiple nights. Arriving at a cabin at night was wild because the road was so windy. We were so confused on where we were and if we were in the right place, but we got there and it was gloriously cool. Near Dollywood, they have all these rental cabin companies that are like multi-bedroom. They're like these huge houses with these big wraparound porches. They're like Lincoln log houses and every layer has a porch. Ours had four porches. How is that possible? I don't even understand how they build these. And the view was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And I gotta say, the company we booked with, what was it? Bear Cove Cabins. They honored our payment from last time because we were all calling these companies from LAX when we tried to go last time being like, we physically can't get to Dollywood. I am so sorry. And they very generously, shout out to my girl Seneca at Bear Cove Cabins, very generously was like, we will hold your payment as credit and you can use it before May. And that's exactly what we did. They even had to change our cabin at the last minute, like 4 days before, which should have been a sign that things were going to go sideways. But the new cabin was great. It was also lovely. It was just as cool. The fireplace, though, was completely fake. I was so excited to be cozy by a fire. And it was kind of a bummer, but it also made me feel like I was on Pirates of the Caribbean because you'd turn this dial and it would just be like waving pieces of plastic and it was orange. And I'd always be like, guys, I know you like the cabin cold. Is it okay if I turn on the fireplace? They'd all be like, shut up and go in your room. We don't want to talk to you. I'm just kidding. They enjoyed the joke. I did the gag a few times and they enjoyed it. I think they enjoyed it. They had fun. We had fun together. Actually, we all talked about how never have we traveled with four people for this long and things have gone so well. The day I got back like 10:30 at night. The next day I hung out with Brandon all day. Like, that's how nice it was. We all just get along. And when it comes to traveling, we all travel so well together, which is rare and beautiful. So we get to the cabin, we're finally there. We're like, we made it. Like, this is the cherry on top of the Tennessee sundae. But the next day was huge because we were finally going to Dollywood. And from the first moment that we approached Dollywood, it was clear that this park was not what I had expected. Like, when you hear the name Dollywood, there's so much wrapped up in that. Is it a theme park? Is it a Six Flags? Is it like sad? Like, is the bit that it's this homage to this like now 80-year-old star outdated? I feared it would feel like it had this, I don't know how to explain it, but like a Simpsons episode sheen on it. Like, it would just be a little too like, I don't like it here. And that Wally World like expectation kept washing over me. I watched a little bit of a YouTube video before our last trip, and I could not wrap my head around what this park would feel like when I was there. I thought we would be climbing these massive hills to get to these high up coasters, and it seemed like they were all in the mountains and inaccessible. I just had this vision of what it might be, and it was so disconnected from any time I'd visited, any time I'd spent in any theme park anywhere else. But most of all, above all, I just couldn't wait to finally know what this place was. No matter if it was campy or legit or extremely rundown or just unexpectedly glorious. And I cannot really begin to convey to you the scale of this park, but I will attempt to by trying to describe how we first entered. With our cabin, we got free premier parking, which I didn't really bat much of an eye at. I didn't really think about it. Because when I park at a theme park, I'm mostly parking at Universal Studios Hollywood and Disneyland, which is a very different beast from the Florida parks. But still, I'm not buying premier preferred parking. I'm not spending my money on that because it is feel bad money to me. If you don't know what that means, listen to my trip planning episode that week before this. Feel good money versus feel bad money is like the mindset I'm always in with parks now. And it really helps a lot. Anyway, we rolled up and we were like, oh yeah, we have the premier parking or whatever. And they go, oh, okie dokie, just keep your blinkers on and stay to the left. And we truly drove 2 miles from there. We drove past the biggest parking lot I've ever seen in my life. The only comp I can think of is Dodgers Stadium. Just kept driving all the way past it. Then we went up a hill and then I think we drove the other way around and kept driving until we finally made it to their premiered preferred parking in an entirely different entrance. And then we still trekked to the entrance long enough where we were like, oh boy, this is a walk. So if you are going to Dollywood, pay the upgrade for the parking. Trust me. We bought 2-day multi-day tickets, but we opted to do this thing called Time Saver Plus for one of the days. There are 3 different tiers of Time Saver, which basically lets you board a Fastpass style Lightning Lane line to get on board more quickly. And we opted for the middle one, which included most of the rides we wanted to go on. One tier up was one additional ride, but the tier we had 3 or 4 rides the lower one didn't have. So we were like, let's just go middle of the road. And that way we can just be a little more loosey freewheeling when we're there and be able to go on more stuff. I paid $124.99 for a 2-day ticket to Dollywood and $80 for Time Saver Plus for one of the days for a total of $205. If that is incorrect, don't come for me. I do words, not math. I think it's right, but honestly, with me, you never know. And unlike most other parks these days, their Skip the Line service was a wristband, a physical wristband that they put on you with a QR code that they scan at the rides. We actually had to go to a physical location at the park, like an office that we had to enter to get these bracelets put on us. And usually I'd be like, what a chore. I don't want to have to stop somewhere. It was actually so nice to be off our phone and not inside a theme park app all day because we didn't even download the Dollywood app because we didn't have to. We didn't need an app to go here because it was on our wrist. And that was pretty refreshing. That bit was very lovely. But as for Time Saver, well, I'd tell you how it works, but I simply cannot because we did not wait in a single line. We did not win in a single line. Every wait time on the board was 0 minutes. Zero. Goose egg. I have never seen anything like it in my life. There was no waits, and it stayed that way for the entire day. There were no lines. There were no lines. There's no lines at Disneyland. I'm waiting 10 minutes to go on Snow White. There were no lines. There were zero lines. When we rolled up at our first attraction, the attendant saw our wristbands, laughed at us. He laughed in our faces and said, "Wow, you sure wasted your money today." We were so taken aback, like, oh my God, we're being clowned on, like Yankees who didn't know better, which on one hand just means we planned extremely well. Yay, go us. I mean, who could have ever anticipated the crowd calendars would be this accurate and how quiet the week between festivals and spring breaks would be? But again, if the worst thing that happens at Dollywood, on the other hand, is that I spend $100 on or $80 on a skip the line pass that I don't need because we basically rented the park out for ourselves, then yeah, I'm good. It was just the most freaky, unpredictable thing I've ever experienced while visiting a theme park. And it truly felt like this karmic shift for all the trouble we went through in getting there. So yeah, after trying to visit Dollywood so much, so many times, we finally made it and we got on every single big ride with no waits. And for the most part, they were pretty freaking awesome. This place is the closest I've ever come to feeling like I am in Roller Coaster Tycoon in real life. No joke, they kind of have one of everything. They've got a flying coaster. They've got a bunch of loop-de-loops. They've got one so fast that someone in our party's boob flew out while they were on board. And I'm not going to name names, but I just wanted to emphasize how freaking fast that ride was. And I know I could use the professional terms I would use if I was writing a story right now, like, oh, there's an Aero Looper or Beyond Vertical Drop. But that language always feels so exclusive to the coaster community. And I want us all to walk away knowing what this park is like. And if it's worth going to H-E-double-L and back to try to get yourselves here like we did. So I'm just going to give it to you straight from my own perspective. Now, Dollywood has over a half dozen major coasters, a handful of smaller attractions, and then a bunch of random, like, kid-friendly, off-the-shelf type of little rides. They've got a fake Dumbo. They've got this ridiculous one where you bounce on bears, which they let 4 adults on. And we're like, oh, the adults always come on board, walk right in. Bless their souls. And Dollywood also has plenty of entertainment, like live music and shows and Dolly's freaking tour bus, which we will get into shortly. But what is so wild about Dollywood is that, like I told you, this place is absolutely massive. You couldn't even wrap your head around the size of this during your first visit. There's no weenie. There's no castle. There's no wayfinding. It is just like truly 4 adults looking at pamphlet maps trying to figure out if we turn lower left or upper left to reach the next ride. And not only does the sheer size and scale of this place shock you, it's somehow this big and this absolutely gigantic. And you still can't see what you're gonna get into when you're on rides. For multiple big coasters, like the biggest coasters in the park, you could not see the entire track from where you were in the park, which is lunacy. I don't even know how they did that. How? Like, it's truly in the freaking mountains. So you just see some of the coaster and just like, bye-bye, these rides yeeting you over a hill, and you'll find out what it's all about when your body is launched onto the other side. Case in point, one of the most thrilling rides, which became my absolute favorite, it was so fun, was this beast of a coaster named Lightning Rod. While standing in the 50s-inspired Jukebox Junction area of the park, all you can really see is this long lift hill and a few little passes on the coaster back to the load station. People are screaming, but it doesn't look that intense, and you can't really discern why. And once we climbed the lift hill, boy, oh boy, did we find out. The majority of this ride is, once again, completely out of view, even though you are lower than the mountains. It doesn't make any sense. And you just don't know what you're getting into until you are on board. And that is so exciting and nervy and scary and fun. It is so fun that you don't know what is going to happen on an outdoor attraction, which is so rare. Now, this ride's story is nuts. It was so fast and rode so smooth that I assumed it must be brand new, but it's not. It opened as a launch wooden coaster 10 years ago, but in 2021, they added in steel, and this ride is, you guys, I could not stop laughing because it goes so fast that it doesn't make sense. I was so scared, and the entire time, both times I went on it, I was cackling. I was scream laughing because it is zoomier than you could ever imagine, and you have no idea what's next, and you're kind of like flying out of the seat a little. You're kind of like flying out of the seat a little, but you, like, you have a belt and you have a restraint, but you also be flying out a little bit. Like, your butt is off the chair a little bit. Like, you're kind of flying and it's a little scary, but it's very, very fun. And this ride is so Dollywood because you just think it's going to be a regular old rickety wooden ride. And it's like, surprise, you're going so fast, you'll think you're going to the moon. And you'll walk off with jelly for legs, deciding if you should turn left to explore Dolly's actual tour bus, again, a highlight of my visit, obviously, or turn right to board the coal train for a ride through the mountains. And that is why I love Dollywood. I love Dollywood because what is happening here? What is this place? Is it an amusement park where the theme is a country singer? Or an actress's theme park where there are just a bunch of butterflies and extremely intense roller coasters? And it makes no sense, and yet it works perfectly? You'll walk around saying things like, want to go visit the blacksmith before we eat a loaf of hot bread? And then you'll walk past a gaggle of bald eagles, just so many bald eagles, as though that's normal. You'll wonder, why is my Tennessee mountain home stuck in my head, even though I don't even know if I've ever heard this song before? And you're standing there thinking that, while looking at a literal recreation of it next to you. And I almost just plummeted to my death inside a haunted mine, but now I'm eating an insect-themed funnel cake, and all is right in the world? And that, my friends, is the Dollywood experience. Dolly is such an enigma, and so many people wrapped into one, that, you know what? It just makes sense that her theme park is as varied as she is. There is nowhere else on earth like this place. I honestly, like, can't believe it exists in 2026, and it is just so delightful. I'd usually explain the lands and the rides and do, like, the kind of, I'll walk you through the park, you know, like a little funky audio tour with my own opinions. But it's tricky to take you around this park because it, when you're there physically, it's even more tricky to be taken around this park. It is laid out so crazily. It's kind of shaped like, the only way I can describe it is that it's shaped like the first pancake you make when you're trying to make a pancake shaped like something else. That is the only explanation. And it's like kind of themed, but also kind of not. The most themed area is Craftsman's Valley, where there are actual glass blowers, actual candle makers, actual blacksmiths, and they're all like doing it as you walk through. Like the confectioners on Main Street behind that glass, but gloriously fully open to the public in a way you could never imagine, because they also have activities where you can join them to blacksmith stuff and to make glass ornaments. And I knew they'd be like whittling and working, but I didn't know it would feel so real. Like, you're out here in the mountains. You're surrounded by trees. There's, again, an unfathomable amount of birds nearby. There's a tiny little village church. The exteriors feel very Knott's Berry Farm. But all the stores are actually stocked with different merch. The salespeople couldn't be friendlier. Like, there's an apothecary store that you would expect you'd walk in and would just see Coca-Cola products and Dollywood merchandise. But no, it had lotions and tinctures and, like, beard oil. Like, it's just so cute. We did go to Dollywood twice. We did use our two-day ticket, even though there were no waits. And on our first day, we walked the entirety of the park and rode whatever we walked past, which means, because my friends are just like me, we walked the entire day and rode every ride they had. And I'm going to tell you all about that right after this break. There is nothing I love more than traveling. But you know what I don't love? The actual traveling. I've lost days of my life just getting from point A to point B. My home airport is LAX, okay, people? I know what it is like to have a bad travel day. And as I get older and I have seemingly less free time, I want to make the most of my vacation days. Which is why I'm so excited about Outdoorsy. With Outdoorsy, you can rent an RV or camper and turn the drive into part of the vacation, on your schedule, with your people, and with way more flexibility. I spent two nights in a camper van a few years ago, And I'm not gonna lie, it kind of changed my life. Waking up with the world's most beautiful view of mountains that I never would have gotten in a hotel while snuggling with my dog? Actual heaven. I cooked my friend Shay's macaroni and cheese recipe in a van while hanging out with my family. Also, we changed cities every day. We went for hikes and had our own bathroom to come back to and a vehicle full of cold seltzers. Nothing beats it. With Outdoorsy, you can rent an RV or camper and travel on your own terms. No TSA lines, no strict schedules, and no rushing through airports. You think Home Alone would have happened if they used Outdoorsy? Surely not. And because you know I'm a Disney kid at heart, don't forget that we really can have it all. Outdoorsy even offers RV delivery and setup in many locations, which can make staying somewhere like Fort Wilderness a breeze. Also, don't forget they have RV parking at Disneyland. Imagine coming back to your RV or camper van and taking a midday nap so the kids can stay up late enough for fireworks? Incredible! It's just so rad. Your car is a house is a car, your car is a kitchen is a bedroom. You can squeeze every ounce of vacation out of your vacation days when you travel with Outdoorsy. So stop stressing about logistics and Comfort Plus Extra Main nonsense, and don't deal with Delta customer service because I've been there and it stinks. If you're ready for a trip that actually feels like the break you deserve, head to Outdoorsy.com. Outdoorsy is currently running a very special promotion for listeners. Use promo code AMUSING at checkout to take advantage of this limited time offer. That's Outdoorsy.com, promo code AMUSING. Most trips focus on getting somewhere. Outdoorsy is about the part in between. I'm so tired of looking in my closet at the start of every spring and being like, how's this gonna go? How is this gonna go? Fall and winter, I usually have some stuff that I return to each and every year, but it just keeps getting hotter and hotter out, which means it is officially time for us to start building a wardrobe with well-made, versatile, warm weather garments that have elevated fabrics, thoughtful design, and pricing that just makes sense. Because I am not about to spend $300 on a pair of shorts. They don't even cover my whole legs. Why would I do that? Thank goodness for Quince, because Quince makes beautiful everyday pieces using premium materials like 100% European linen, ooh, I feel easy breezy already, organic cotton, and super soft denim with styles starting around $50. Their spring pieces are lightweight and breathable and effortless, the type of things you just throw on and instantly look put together. They actually use that same focus for accessories and other products like leather bags made from 100% hand-woven Italian leather. Ooh, chic! I mean, I've said it before, browsing their website feels like if shopping was taking an Italian vacation. They have all the long-lasting, classy, chic basics you need at the prices you want to pay. I talked recently in our Gab Sesh episode about how I have a uniform lately, and duh, I shop at Quince for it. It's always Quince. All roads lead back to Quince. Quince bike shorts are my favorite workout gear. You know this. And I'm going to expand into some other things this summer because your girl needs shorts, your girl needs top, your girl needs dresses, your girl needs pants, your girl needs everything. And I'm looking nowhere else but Quince. So refresh your spring wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. Now, where I just left off, I was telling you that I had gone on every single ride at this park. And we started with one called Blazing Fury, which was the goofiest attraction I've been on in years. Like, you know that like urge some of us theme park fans have where you like really want to go on Phantom Manor at Disneyland Paris or even like Mystic Manor at Hong Kong Disneyland? Imagine pairing that feeling with like the aged character of the Calico Mine Ride at Knott's Berry Farm and the unpredictability of Journey to the Center of the Earth at Tokyo DisneySea. And you kind of got whatever this is. Set in a town from the 1800s with a fire approaching rapidly, would you know that storyline from being on the ride? No. Do I know it because I looked it up on the website? Sure do. It's a dark ride with delightfully worn-in animatronics. Like, they've not been updated in a long, 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 long time, given that old Epcot feel. But also, for like 10 gorgeous seconds, it's a roller coaster? It's like a dark ride. It's just like, whoop, it's a roller coaster, and then it's a dark ride again. And then, whoop, it's a roller coaster, and then it's over. And the dude loading us into this said this was his favorite ride at Dollywood because his grandpa worked on it, which is so Dollywood. Which, speaking of the loading, I've heard a lot of people say that they do not like Dollywood, and I think I'm starting to understand why. It's the veneer of a theme park with the operations of an amusement park. And what that means is that they are loading these things slowly for reasons outside of their control. First off, a lot of these are aggressive roller coasters, which means more additional safety checks than you would need. But second of all, these are rides that are not built for you bringing your belongings on board. So everyone does that extremely irritating thing where you plop them in the little shelves before you board, which means everyone has to get in the ride vehicle, climb out of the ride vehicle. It's like, you know, stomp down, step up, put their bag in a cubby, and come back and get settled in a harness or a lap bar or sometimes both. But they're also doing all of that at the same time everyone is exiting the ride and scrambling to try to find wherever they left their drink cup and their backpack and all of their things. And it is a mess. It slows these rides down so much. We, again, did not wait in a single proper line for a ride, and it was still a cumbersome process. They also, like, don't really tell you where to go when you're lining up for a ride, which is a whole other thing. So when ride waits are actually occurring, when they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes, watching this slow as molasses process would be maddening as for someone who goes to theme parks a lot. But back to Blazing Fury, this, like, silly little dark ride coaster. It's just fun. It's just vintage fun, which is what many of the rides at Dollywood are. Fun, not vintage fun. If they were all vintage fun, it would be like Epcot. But no, they're all fun. But for a theme park fan, some of the attractions here do leave a significant amount to the imagination. When a ride has no onboard audio, you can feel the difference. And for maybe a regular person, like a normal person who doesn't spend all day thinking about this stuff, it wouldn't be a big deal. But for someone who is used to there being a storyline, I'm out here being like, but why am I going upside down? Why? I don't understand why my body is upside down. I don't understand why my head is below my legs right now. And while that's a demand I am prescribing upon them, when Dollywood lives in this liminal space between theme and amusement park, it does make some of the rides here fall flat for me, personally. Attractions like Dragonflyer, a suspended family coaster where your feet dangle and your non-toddler kids can ride with you, they were kind of like this. They were fine, but I would never really wait for them. Thunderhead, a fun but not scary wooden coaster, was kind of like that too. It was kind of like a legitimate Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, but it had these padded seats that were, we called them armchairs because they kept you from smacking against the side and you just felt like you were sitting in a cushioned chair. And it was a great coaster, but again, no real story happening here. And it could have been, for like a wild ride in the wilderness, it could have been so much better. And then there's Big Bear Mountain, a massively long, nearly 4,000-foot coaster that opened in 2023 and is only offered on the biggest, most expensive Time Saver ticket, which even we didn't have. We saw that and we're like, oh yeah, it's long, it's new, this one is gonna rock. This is gonna be the highlight of our trip. I mean, we have a clear theme in the name. We have a long freaking walk to the back of the park because it's on an expansion pad, which means it's new. New technology, let's go. This one's gonna rock. And it has a little bit of a storyline, and it has onboard audio, but boy, did it leave a lot to the imagination. I'm sorry, but okay, if this is a coaster named Big Bear Mountain, and it's a coaster about a bear, I should see a bear. I should see a bear. Give me one animatronic. Let me see a little paw move or something. Jungle Cruise has been doing this since 1955, baby. There is no excuse for this anymore. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting on, again, the longest ride here, and there was nothing. And I don't think the Dollywood clientele is bothered by this, given that it's not their demand upon visiting, it's mine. But these rides would have so much more oomph and resonance to a wider audience, and especially a theme park crowd, if they had those small extra touches. Again, if your coaster is themed to a mountain of bears, let me see a freaking paw. Just wanna see a paw. And that's the reason why I was so delighted by a ride called Fire Chaser Express, my other favorite ride here at Dollywood. This ride easily could work in Universal Studios if they had some sort of like minion firefighter overlay. It launches forwards. It launches backwards. This was as theme parky of a coaster as you can get. They had actual practical effects in a garage full of fireworks. It was perfect. This one was so good and we all walked off so giddy. But alas, my group was split on the last coaster that we have yet to tackle. It was the favorite of two people in our party, and everyone else rode it a second time but me. And if you know Dollywood, I think you know what I'm talking about. because we are discussing Mystery Mine. My friends were gung-ho about this, and I was not at all. I actually stopped them from climbing the stairs because I looked at the track around us and went, excuse me, hold please. The track makes no sense. This was one of the rare ones where you could see the majority of the outdoor track that was there, and I looked up at it, and there was an inverted track, not a loop. It seemed like the entire track was inverted in a way that gravity would not allow for. Like, the track was entirely upside down. What is happening here? I asked to my friends. And they were like, just come on. Just come on. So I went. And boy, oh boy, this one was not the one for me. Now, the vibe here is kind of the essence of the Haunted Mansion, just barely. It's like, ooh, a little spooky, but that's kind of where the comparison ends. Though they did have the song playing when we boarded the ride vehicle, and I was straight up like, this is the melody of Grim Grinning Ghosts. It was fully the melody of Grim Grinning Ghosts, and the ride attendant putting me in the ride was like, it's not Grim Grinning Ghosts. And I'm like, yeah, but the melody's exactly the same. Like, he shut it down, and I'm like, oh, he's definitely heard this before. He's definitely heard this before. But this ride, oh my God, Mystery Mine. Oh my God, sorry, I just hit my mic because I have so many things to say about Mystery Mine. Also, now I'm scared that that's not the name of it. That's the name of it, right? Mystery Mine. You got to look up a picture of it to understand what I'm talking about, because this was one of those rides that's like a straight up, straight down. Kind of like Hang Time at Knott's, if you've ever done that. Like, you're laying back and you're going up, 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 laying down, and then you go straight down the other way. Just like over loop, like a big U. It's wild. And I gotta give it to them. A bravo for the theming. It's so cool that they hid this vertical drop straight, like straight up, straight down inside a random old beaten up mine building. It's genius design that you could see the rest of the track, but could not see the vertical drops because, to quote Bob Iger, they built two. And they rocked me to my core. There's a video that one of them took of me, I think Brandon took it, of me walking off and just yelling at them like, I told you, look at the track, I told you. It was just too rickety for me to ever do again. Even if I think the design of it was very fun. And if you are into theme parks, you will probably like this ride. I really don't enjoy rides that slam my head back and forth. Like, my head is one of those metal clickety-clack balls people used to have on their executive desks in the 1980s. Just, I don't want my brain to feel sloshing around. But it deems mentioning because, honestly, Mystery Mine was done so well. It was very themed and it was, like, really inventive, even if it fully rocked my world. So, yeah. Lightning Rod, absolute favorite. Fire Chaser Express, right behind it. They are both ones I would look forward to riding again. Thunderhead, the armchair ride, truly felt like we were in an armchair or a couch. The themeless Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and reluctantly, Mystery Mine are the other ones that I would recommend to a theme park person. But it's Dollywood, and we are there for so much more than just the rides. And once again, I just want to emphasize, I did not know what to expect. I thought there was a very, very big, not even more than zero, like a pretty large chance we were going to be hustled into a sad old amusement park vibe that felt barren and like a bummer. But not at all. Like, literally not at all. Being surrounded by real nature is so nice. And they even have like crisp mountain air. Do you know how refreshing it is to be at a theme park surrounded by actual trees that weren't planted 2 years ago under the guise of, oh, they'll grow in and then we'll have shade? The park is beautiful. It is lush. The details are so good. We were all so impressed by just the fabrication of things and the level of theming. The level of theming that I did not expect. The quality is so high. I mean, I'm old enough to still remember when they opened Pixar Pier and just slapped some vinyl on some trash cans. Like, here, everything felt handcrafted and, like, really well-built and high quality. Things looked good and clean and beautiful. The plants, the trees, it was just lovely. And along those lines is, of course, the Dolly Parton Experience. Now, this was a multi-building setup. I don't know how they laid this out, but I'm not going to critique them because it was heaven. There is essentially a museum exhibit about Dolly Parton, which is one of those like new fancy museum exhibits. You know when they get people who did theme park design but probably left the business because it's volatile and they started to build museums and interactive displays? They got that. I don't know who built it, but it is good. And so the walkthrough is fantastic. Honestly, I wouldn't expect that they charged extra for it. Please don't. But it was so nice to like be in this Dolly environment of like her whole career. Then they had this other building that was her costumes and her shoes. And let me tell you, her proportions make no sense to the human eye. I'm just going to leave it at that. There was also a stage show, which I believe her niece is in. I think that's like the one that her family is part of. We walked in and found out it was going to be about 40 minutes long and just did not have the time. So we had to leave before it started, which was a bummer. I would have loved to see that. I wasn't able to. But then we went on the tour bus. We went on Dolly Parton's freaking tour bus. Okay. The gentleman who like helped us onto the tour bus and was talking to us knew so much, was so helpful. You are literally in Dolly Parton's tour bus. You are looking in her mirror. You're seeing her room. It is so iconic and so cool that we absolutely overstayed our welcome. Like the people waiting in line for us to get out of the bus must have been so mad because we just couldn't leave. And I kept walking through these exhibits just being like, I cannot wrap my head around the Dolly of it all. Like, I feel like I'm looking at a museum exhibit from 100 years ago, and now I'm standing in her theme park on my iPhone. Like, there's aspects of her life. She grew up with, what, 9 siblings in a Tennessee mountain house, which is also recreated in the park, and you can go in and see it. And it looks truly like the 1800s. There's like a pot that they made some sort of can of beans in. And yet I'm sitting here in 2026 on my phone, like Googling what Dolly has done in the last few months. The split between those experiences should not join together. And yet they do. Like, I can't process the entirety that is Dolly Parton's vast and varied career. I need to know everything there is to know about this woman immediately because I'm so blown away by her. Because she's a musician, so there's tons of entertainment, but she's also a famous actress, and she's an icon, and she's kind of this like beacon of hope, of charitable giving. She has so many different things, and they're all kind of wrapped up in this park, and it's just very, very cool. It really is the closest parallel to Walt Disney that I think we'll ever see in this theme park setting in our lifetimes. And because she is so rooted in music, there's tons of entertainment. Everybody talked about how great the entertainment was, and there are multiple stage shows, but don't be mad at me. We didn't see any of them. I know. People loved them. I wanted to see them. I wanted to see the stage show about her life very, very badly. But our priorities were 1, rides, 2, food, 3, merchandise. And because of the sheer complexity of visiting a park this boundless, like this endlessly big, there was simply no way we could do it all in the amount of time that we had. On our first day, we did all rides and stayed until almost closing, like truly like mid-morning to closing. But on our second day, which was more of a half day really, we came primarily for food and shops, and we walked the entirety of the park again, conquering those two things. Brandon, one of my friends who was on the trip, really wanted to see the merchandise in every single store because it seems like the Emporium didn't have the stuff that we had kind of glanced at the day before. And he was so correct in this instinct. Whoever does merchandise at this park freaking rocks at their job because the layouts were so enticing. The product lines were so robust that I ended up buying random stuff that wasn't even Dollywood related because the boutiques were so packed with things worth buying. I bought this big, huge pink hair bow for Pearl and like this like Southern style boutique that had like an old watermill in it. I bought a vintage looking Dollywood keychain at another store. They had patches for sale for almost every single attraction. And they had these little like patch and pin packs. Postcards were all over the place. They were all different and they were 50 cents each. None of this 10 in a pack for $20 business like we're getting at Disney. Nah, 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 nah. I was able to buy an individual postcard, which sent me through the roof. It was wonderful. But most of all, I bought a real souvenir. I bought a sweatshirt. And if you listen to the podcast regularly, you know it takes a lot for theme park merchandise to woo me. When I buy something, I intend to keep it for years and years and years. So it has to speak to me on a very deep, visceral level to make it all the way home to my closet, because once it is there, it will not leave because I am obsessed with it and it is a part of my being. And when I tell you, I have not only already worn this sweatshirt since I got home, but I am wearing it right now as I record this because it is freaking perfect. It has like, I would say like the energy of a Spirit jersey, but is its own person, like the long distance relative of a Spirit jersey that it did not know about, because it is red with this big chonky white stripe. There we go. A big old chonky white stripe across the middle that says Dollywood in the most gorgeous, like varsity letter font. It is divine. I used to have a Tabasco shirt that was kind of like this. This is a half zip. That was just a polo that had multiple buttons. I bought it from my friend Jamie, who used to sell vintage. And after about 6 or 7 years with it, I was like, you know what? I'm not wearing this that often. It's taking up space. I should donate it and just put it back into like the recycle factory. Like have another person discover it and love it. And I regret giving it away so much that this fills that void perfectly. I'm giddy over it. So if you go check all the stores, because this was in one single store. It was in the general store in the Craftsman's area, which it belonged in the Emporium. I don't know why it wasn't there, but I'm so glad we found it and so glad that Brandon made the call to go into every single store. But because we chose to do this, we weren't able to really sit down for some of the shows. We thought we'd get to it eventually, and just time ran out. And again, keep in mind, we had no weights. So if we had weights, it would have taken a lot more time to do everything. So we thought with like all of this, we'd eventually get to it, and we didn't. And we thought we would end up just seeing live music, because a lot of people said there were walk-around people. There were bands playing all the time. Oh, it's so joyful. There's so much live music. We saw none of it because there was none. We went on a week between festivals. Nobody was there. They're obviously not hiring musicians to play that when on the eve of their big festival, the launch, the first day it's back, they're going to have all the live music for that. We did see one person playing a banjo, I believe it was, one time, and that was it. And I think that's the trade-off for if you visit during a less busy time. I would rather have 0 minute waits than someone fiddling. Personally, I love a fiddle. I used to play the upright bass, bong, 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 bong. But which I did, lore drop, for 4 years through high school. I had one in my house. Anyway, like I would love to see people playing stringed instruments, but again, I'd rather not wait for a roller coaster. That's just, it makes no sense. They're not going to pay people to perform to nobody. So I get it, but we did not see Dollywood in that way that most people describe. Still, this place was full of pleasant surprises. They had water bottle refill stations everywhere. We don't even have that at Disney, bonkers. They had extremely kind staff. The food was pretty good. I do think it's better for me to cover the food at length in a video so you can actually see what I'm talking about. But I mean, the food was pretty straightforward and it was pretty good. We did two sit-down meals. One was at Aunt Granny's restaurant, which is kind of like it's all you care to enjoy, which is the verbiage that Disney also uses sometimes, which feels like a legal loophole so that people don't like eat themselves sick and then sue the company. But this was not, it was kind of like a buffet, but you sit down, you get a list of entrees and sides, and you pick 3 entrees and 4 sides, and then you can keep swapping them out for new ones. So we had fried chicken. They had some sort of, I don't really eat pulled meats. So this was, you know, I didn't really, there's a lot of things that people probably recommend at these parks that I'm not going to recommend because I'm not getting like a plate of brisket ever. That's just simply not happening. I had fried chicken, which was great. They had a bunch of vegetables. I had braised cabbage. I was like, that's the side I want. I ate an entire bowl of braised cabbage. It was delicious. We just had a great time sitting there eating all the food. It was lovely. And the prices were so good, dude. It was like $30 a person for all you can eat. Came with a soda. Can't beat it. It was wonderful. We went to another one, I think the Front Porch restaurant, and we all had chicken club sandwiches that had pretzels for bread. Instead of bread, it was just Dollywood pretzels. It's wild out here. I loved it. And then we also had some other yummies. We had a really great ice cream. We had some other snackies. But the highlight, the reason why I'm like, forget all that food, who cares, is because the highlight here was the cinnamon bread. I can't believe that I've been walking around town for about 7 months in my homemade Dollywood cinnamon bread hat. And I did not know truly how good it was. It was going to be shameful if I went there and didn't like the bread and I've been walking around in my hat, which says, oh my God, off the top of my head, let's see if I can remember. Greetings from Dollywood is what I'd say if my mouth wasn't full of cinnamon bread. I'm pretty sure that's what it said. I think there's a few more words in there because I tend to overwrite. But anyway, we got there and we were like, no way the cinnamon bread's going to be as good as the people say. Because I think Dole Whip is overhyped. I like Dole Whip. I think it's good, but I don't think it's like earth shattering. And this stuff took us out. Cinnamon bread was so good because it was so fresh and so fluffy and so light. But then it had this like cinnamon goo on the bottom that you could dip in. The girlies in front of us in line were like, the icing is overrated. It can come with icing or apple butter. So we didn't even really eat the icing. I do wish it was more of a frosting because I'm not as much of a powdered sugar icing girly, but it was divine. It was absolutely divine. And Carly Caramana, who I'm sure many of you know, is also a theme park reporter. Carly's been to Dollywood a lot of times and said that her favorite cinnamon bread is not the standard one. It's the mini cinnamon bread that's more personal sized. And we ended up getting the mini one. And the mini one, listen, It's $3 cheaper than an entire loaf of bread that feeds multiple people. So I was a little like, Carly, better rewrite. I'm losing money on my bread to money ratio here. And Carly was right. Carly was right. Carly was right. The mini one is gooier. It has more of that like cinnamon liquid sugary yumminess. We really liked the mini one. We thought it was better. But you do get more bang for your buck with the bigger one. I would say definitely get both because it was so tasty. It was truly so tasty. Dollywood has no faults when it comes to cinnamon bread. But brother, iced coffee? There was no iced coffee to be found in this entire theme park, which is the devil's work. Truly, it is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. There's no explanation for it. Dollywood is so severely lacking in the iced coffee, iced latte department that all of the coffee offerings that I could see were those like automatic machines. Like they had an ice rinks at the 90s where you push a button for a cappuccino. Like there is only one iced coffee product I saw, and I checked every single location in this freaking theme park, and it was a cold brew for $7.99 American cents. So take what you will with that information. Get coffee before you get there. Hope you can hold out while you're there, because I almost couldn't on day one and it was very, very dire. But I'm not spending $7.99 on a cold brew, like a We Proudly Serve Starbucks cold brew that I don't know what is happening. Like I don't know what the cold brew is. Did it come from a package? I don't know what's happening. $8. What are my milk options? Are they the tiny cups? I don't like the little cups of half and half. Was not taking part in that. I was not spending $8 on a cold brew at Dollywood when they don't sell coffee anywhere else. However, all I needed was I just want some espresso. I want an iced latte. And it was nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And it's interesting because regionally, you know, at our theme parks, we have plenty of fun, funky coffees. But here, And if you are a matcha person, good luck. Because this is like the land before time, if time was matcha going global. Like if you need a matcha to function every day, respectfully, do not come to Pigeon Forge because you will not survive it. And it doesn't make any sense because like they had Dubai chocolate in the candy shop, but nary a cold caffeine that isn't an energy drink to be found. It doesn't make any sense to me. So follow my lead, get a coffee the night before at Buc-ee's, get an iced coffee, Put a little syrup in it, $1.99. Maybe fill up the fridge with them, and then you're ready to go for the parks. And if you would have asked me, what will shock me more on my trip to Dollywood? The many references to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or the availability of cold coffee? I would have guessed completely wrong, because there is a lot of faith-based stuff. Things for sale, Jesus saves, signs on the wall. Christ is present here. That's kind of what I'll say. Again, there is literally a church inside the park. But even as a religious minority here, I kind of liked it. I actually kind of liked it. It felt so nice to be surrounded by people who were like, hey, welcome. We collectively believe in something and we really believe in caring for other people and we wish you a blessed day, which is also Dolly Parton's wheelhouse. Her Imagination Library, if you are not familiar with it, has gifted 300 million books to young children. Think about that for a second. 300 million books. And weaving that narrative of giving and charity and community into the religious beliefs that are kind of omnipresent here was nice. I mean, they're done in like a very low-key way. They weren't like offensive about it. It was just kind of like nice. It just kind of added to the theming in this strange way. And if you leave it at just like the theme park surface level with none of the other dark, scary, modern rights snatching affiliations along with it, just like the pure pretend small town happy collective, like it did not bother me at all. Because again, I'm in someone else's space. I am the other in this scenario. This is a park modeled after an actual living person. And as much as we, before we left, were like, is this going to be a safe space for us as people from California or not? It absolutely was. And we felt very great there. Now, we did see someone at the park wearing a shirt that absolutely rocked me to my core. We didn't see as much political garb as you would expect to be worn, as much like clothing that made us go yikes, 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 yikes. There was some pretty horrifying stuff being shown, being sold at shops outside of the park, but I didn't see a single political affiliation on a hat, on a clothing, anywhere. I didn't even see any of that merch that I mentioned that was sold in the stores of like snowflakes, you know, that type of stuff. Like, I didn't see any of that in the park. And again, we were there on weekdays. It was quiet. There were low crowds. It might be part of that. And I am very cognizant of the fact that this is not where I am from. I am different from these people. I'm on someone else's turf, and I do not expect them to believe in the same things that I do and act the same way. You just never know what to expect when you're in a new place. And I was pleasantly surprised. People were delighted to see us, like, truly mouth agape, jaw on the floor, delighted to be in Dollywood. The staff was so kind. I was really, really impressed by the whole situation. And I mean, not all the staff was like that. The ride operators were like really stressed. I'm not sure what the deal was there. That park needs some real like load, unload, baggage overhaul, as I mentioned. One of them, we went on like, there were like four staircases to go up to a ride. There was nobody there. We didn't know what was going on. They kept yelling at us that we went off the wrong way and then yelling at us again. They keep yelling at you to fill all available space, but they don't let you choose a row if you like want to wait for the front after you've waited in line. I don't know. You can't choose where you sit in the ride, which is very bizarre to me. We just kind of were like, okay, we'll go in five. I don't know. I'm just so used to theme parks. It was just strange to me. But they got us on the ride safely, so whatever, who cares? All in all, a fantastic time. Now, before we go, I do want to go kind of over our highlight, lowlight tips from our trip. Again, I thought I would be out here giving you like a travel guide, but I went to an empty park, so I don't really know. I don't really know what to tell you what ride to go to first. I heard Lightning Rod, my favorite ride there, closes down often, so like maybe early in the day. I don't know. We played it by ear, and it worked out very well. We were very lucky, so consult a crowd calendar, and I hope it goes well. As I mentioned before, go in every store. The souvenirs are really good. The other merchandise, third-party merchandise they sell, also great. We all bought more than we thought we would, and we were people who don't really buy theme park merch, so go in every store and check it out. Again, check the crowd calendars. Our timing was a bit of a pro and a con. As I mentioned, we missed a lot of that lively outdoor music atmosphere that I thought we would see. We visited, I believe, right after the I Will Always Love You festival ended and a literal day before the Flower and Food Festival began. So on our last day, we got to enjoy the topiaries, which was lovely. They were beautiful. And we kept noticing like, oh, this wasn't even planted here on Wednesday. And we were there on a Friday. So it was really nice to be able to see that. Some people would want to go for temporary food. You know me, I don't care. I was happier to have the short waits and like midweek crowds, which was nice. But because it's spring and because the sun goes down later, we didn't get to experience Dollywood at night. And I know Dollywood at night during certain seasonal festivals can be really, really cool. So I do hope to one day experience that, but that simply because of the way the earth moves and sun. Oh my God. I mean, yeah, like timing, et cetera, earth, sun, et cetera. We were not able to do that. But find those pockets, check a crowd calendar, and you will be as blessed as we were. If you are wondering, like, is this right for me? I have small children. You're going to have to think about it because there are a lot, surprising lot of things for small kids to do here, actually. There was an indoor play area in Wildwood Grove, which is one of the newer areas, which is very lovely. There are a lot of small rides. There's actually a country fair area with a lot of little rides. But personally, I wouldn't travel here with Pearl. There's no characters. We're so used to Disney. And I think she'd be like, Mom, why am I in an oldie time candle shop? Get me out of here and into Judy Hopps' arms. I just don't think she would understand how charming it is at her age, given how deeply exposed she is to Disney theme parks. And the size of it, oh my Lord. There's not a chance I would be pushing a stroller this far and have a hand free enough to keep me hydrated. It is a Camelback summer, people, by the way, and I will be rocking mine at Disney World when I am there. But still, I don't really have any interest personally in her seeing it because it would require so much travel for us. But if you are like, wait, I'm actually not that far from here and I don't feel that way at all. I think my kid would enjoy going on a bunch of random rides and being outside. Then absolutely go. My viewpoint of this is really heavily colored by the fact that I'm far, far, far away and could barely even get my solo adult self there with my friends. So for us, I wouldn't be traveling here with her soon. But if you are driving distance, ooh, I definitely would give it a shot. Similarly, it's not the best for accessibility. Their scale is just so, so massive that unless you're using an ECV, which you can do, just trying to walk through this park with any sort of mobility issue would be really tough. If I was baby wearing and had to walk this much, I think I would collapse on the ground in tears. Then again, my core is essentially non-functional anymore, but it's just huge. It's just huge, 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 huge. So just keep that in mind. Because it's not like we're used to where there's a thing in the middle and you can cut across. Here, it's like a big old loop and then another kind of loop. It's not laid out the way we're used to where you can cut back through the middle at all. So just keep that in mind. It's kind of shaped like a butterfly with one kind of weak wing in a way. In a way. When it comes to rides at Dollywood, read the ride descriptions. You literally don't know what these rides will be because you can't see the tracks. It got to a point where I had to stop at the sign and read the safety warnings for every single ride because I truly did not know if we would have a 200-foot drop or 3 inversions or go a zillion miles per hour. I did not know. And a quick note, because, you know, I'm not like a huge coaster buff, just like spewing nonsense to other coaster heads. I love a theme park. I love a ride. But I don't always love massive coasters, especially ones without a theme. Like, I'm simply not going to a Six Flags ever. But I'm happy to say, I did every single coaster in this park, and I found none of them to be as aggressive, non-complimentary. I found none of them to be as aggressive as Starlight Racers at Epic Universe. That ride messed me up. It shook me so hard that I needed to take an Advil after every single round that I went on it. And I did not feel that way here for anything, which kind of shocked me. I didn't go on Mystery Mine again because I did feel too shooken up, but nowhere near needing to take an Advil because it felt like my head was going to explode because my brain sloshed around in my skull so much. Also, most people, when I mention that to them, say, then why did you go on Stardust Racers so many times? To which I say, because I work hard, okay? Because I do my job well and I need to know. I need to know what this ride is like on both tracks and then again at night. And if I have to take a few too many Advils one time in my life, I'm gonna do it. Also, a quick edit and apology that I called it Starlight Racers. The original name of Stardust Racers was Starfall Racers. So a lot of times when I go to say the name out loud, I short circuit and panic in my brain because I said Starfall Racers like 100 times when Epic Universe opened. And so I always panic, but it is Stardust Racers. Not Starlight, not Starfall, not Star Bright, not Star Night. Stardust Racers. Got it. I got it. But anyway, where was I? Many of the rides, very smooth, extremely fun. I really enjoyed them. Dollywood is kind of like the theme park of amusement parks in a way, if that makes sense. And I really enjoyed what they had. I can't believe I have talked so much about Dollywood where I can't even tell you about the other stuff we did. Maybe I'll get to it next week. I'll try to wrap it in. I think we're going to do a gab sesh next week. And then we're going to do a very fun episode after that. Not that it's not fun. I think it's fun. We just have an interview after that. And then, yeah, a reminder where if you're a coffee head like I am, plan out your coffee. I don't ever want to drink a hot coffee ever, especially from one of those rinky-dink machines. There are very, very, very limited independent coffee shop options in the area, so just keep that in mind. And if you have any Dollywood questions or any feedback, if you are a Dollywood person and you want to, like, let people know stuff I didn't encounter because I went during such a wacky, wacky time. Please call in and let me know. I know I'm going to get yelled at for not going to one of the live shows. I know. But we had a lot of merchandise and food-based aspirations, and I stand behind everything we did, even if I need to read like 7 Dolly Parton biographies now because the woman is so fascinating. I finally made it. I did not think this day would come. I'm so excited about it, and I hope you enjoyed, and I hope you know, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I hope you now know if you are a Dollywood person who's interested in going, or if you're like, nah, I'm good forever, I'm gonna stick with Disney Universal. I hope I helped. I hope you had fun, and that's all. That's all I got. Welcome back, Becky!
It's great to be back, and we're going to kind of go into a mystery machine of deals because there are some strange offers that I haven't seen before ever that are starting to hit, which is great for this wave season. Again, the suppliers go all out to try to get your attention, and there's so much noise right now in how many offers are available during the wave season period that they kind of, you know, turn the volume up a little bit. Like, ready for this? Universal Studios Orlando has a stay and dine with a $300 hotel dining credit, which I've never seen before. 5 nights or more stay at a select Universal Orlando Resort Hotel from April 12th to September 3rd. The participating hotels are the Cabana Bay, Stella Nova, Terra Luna, and Aventura. You stay at any of those for 5 nights or more, and you get a $300 hotel dine credit.
And that goes far.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It certainly can, especially at those resorts. They've got great value deals that are available at the restaurants that are there at the resort.
Oh, my God. Everybody's getting a freestyle cup this summer.
Exactly. You get a cup and you get a cup.
You don't even have to share with your brother. You get your own.
So on top of that, we also have a new deal with Disney, but it's a little different. It's something that I haven't seen before either. If you sailed on Disney Cruise Line recently, if you book within 14 days of disembarkation, you can actually save up to 35% on rooms at Walt Disney World. Valid most dates March through December, excluding most holidays. So it's a
what?
I know. Get off Disney Cruise Line, and then you're able to book your next vacation at Walt Disney World if you want to go this year, and you get 35% off the rooms. It's perfect. Oh. But wait, there's more.
Oh, there's always more with Becky.
There's always more, because if one bounce back offer deserves another bounce back offer. So if you stayed at Walt Disney World in a deluxe or villa, you can book Disney Cruise for up to 25% off fares on select dates and sailings.
25?
Yes. Which is even better than booking your placeholder. There's a lot of savings to be had here, up to 25% off Disney Cruise if you book within 7 days of your checkout from a Disney World deluxe or villa resort.
Wow.
Amazing, right? They still have the 20% off voyage fare and the $200 50 onboard credit on select Disney Wish and Dream sailings. That's for sailings between April and July of this year. So a lot of people are still looking for their summer vacation getaway, and that's sitting there too. And if you looked at that, if you knew about that offer before, look again, because as availability has shifted, so have the dates of the offer. So if you looked, it wasn't something you liked, look again.
And this is why we have you on. This is why. Because there's no other way that you can easily find this out and hear about it straight from the source and also get so many tips.
I love, love, love helping people find their perfect match between their desired vacation and their wallet. And that's what we're here to do.
Thank you so much, Becky.
Happy to help.
Hi, Carly. This is Rachel from Minneapolis. I first want to say thank you so much for all the love you showed my city when we were under siege earlier this year. I appreciate that you use your platform to speak out about topics beyond theme parks. But on the theme park front, I am treating myself to a solo trip to Disneyland in May. It's my first solo trip ever and first non-kid trip to the parks in 12 years. I love experiencing the parks with my kids, but I'm also looking forward to owning my itinerary, staying past 8 p.m. and getting all my own snacks. So I'd love your tips for the best way to spend 2 solo days at Disneyland with a park hopper. In particular, I would love to know, what are the best places to slow down and notice little magical or historical details? What is your favorite iced coffee spot? And what are the best tiny affordable souvenirs I can fit in my carry-on bag to bring home to my kids? Thanks so much. Bye.
Hi, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for the kind words at the beginning. If my job is to yell into a microphone and into an iPhone about things I care about, I have to be doing it for things that I care about that are massive, massive, massive issues happening in the world that we live in. I hope your friends and family and loved ones were all okay and safe during that time, even though the issue and the reason we all were talking about it is because not everybody's were. And that's the tragic end of it. I really, really, really hope we don't have to live through more things like that again. Even if we are prepared for it, it is extremely bleak. And I just think that in general, everybody needs to be kinder to each other in so many ways. Now, I don't want to like hard pivot into Disneyland, but I do want to answer your call, which again, thank you for calling about this. Now, we did talk last week, I believe it was. It might have been the week before. Honestly, I just got off a plane. I'm a little jumbly about when I know I recorded things and I know what I've said out loud, but I don't remember exactly which week they were in. But I do know that I did recently do a Churros call about a solo trip at Disneyland. But this one actually feels different enough that I don't want to snooze on this call, and I want to make sure that I address it, especially since so many of you are currently traveling to Disneyland solo. So I'm just going to barf a bunch of worthwhile tips at you if that's cool, and hopefully we will hit every single thing that you requested. Now, as we mentioned in previous episodes, just to refresh your memory, single rider lines at Disneyland, use them and abuse them. You'll love them. It will make your trip so much better, and there are so many of them at Disneyland Resort that you gotta be taking advantage of them. Always Always mobile order food in advance. It'll save you so much wasted time at Disneyland, because if you are like, oh, I think I want to eat this now, you've already lost a half an hour. Like, just order things in advance. You can always move the times around. You can adjust it. You don't pay until you pick it up. It is so, so helpful. That said, bring a charger, because Brandon and I were realizing when we were at Dollywood that our phones just like really didn't die there. And it's because we weren't using the Dollywood app. Because we weren't using the Dollywood app, the Disneyland app will drain your battery. So make sure to bring extra charger, because to be like a bit like, you know, like out of the park and be like, oh, I just wanted to pick up my cookies. Bring a charger. You're good to go. DCA, I want to flag, is busy with the festival right now. So a lot of my little hidey holes there are pretty busy. But I do want to give you a short list of places to chill if you would like them. Obviously Disney's Grand Californian, great place to hang out. My favorite little hiding spot used to be the third floor. There's a table there that overlooks the balcony that I sat at with a laptop. It was a life-changing experience. They will kick you out of that seat if you are not a hotel guest, but because you're solo and if you might not be on a big device, they might not flag it. So you didn't hear it from me, but I would give it another go. Let me know how it goes. If you want to listen, if you do research for me, I'd be very grateful. It is like, there is someone sitting there. It's like a Club 33 check-in desk. But if you're solo and you're just like sitting on your phone reading a book, they're definitely going to think you're a hotel guest, I think. So give it a shot. That is my favorite place. But otherwise, the lobby is also fantastic there. When it comes to like a chill meal, I really, really like, this is maybe the fourth, I recently did this and it was like the third or fourth time I've done it. It is my go-to move now. I will get food at Aunt Cass Cafe and I will walk it over to Flo's, because you can like watch the cars, you can be in a lively environment, and you get yourself out of that cafeteria overwhelm that the San Francisco area can be at mealtime. To me, it is so chill to like get a bread bowl with macaroni and cheese and walk over there and just be buttering my little bread, my little mushroom cap of bread bowl bread, and just sit there and eat it and watch cars, like feel like I'm in a land. And you'll see most of the time, depending on where you're sitting, but I think you will always, I mean, if you're inside, not really, but you'll see Mater, you'll see Lightning McQueen drive by. Like, it's just, you feel like you are in a theme park land, like you are part of it while also chilling and hanging out. That is kind of my favorite place to chill right now. Don't sleep on sitting up at Hungry Bear as the train goes past. There's usually pretty ample seating there. Having the train go by, same kind of feeling. Like, you're at a theme park, but you're relaxing. You're not in all of the hubbub. It's really, really nice. It's really, really nice. And if the hustle and bustle doesn't overwhelm you, I do recommend sitting at Jolly Holiday. That is the number one go-to spot. But again, I tried to work there once. I never posted the video, but it's me being like, I can't do this. I'm overwhelmed. And I didn't get anything done. Also, since you're traveling solo, consider Tom Sawyer Island. Like, I never prioritize that when I'm there with other people. And if you're going when it's not too hot out, you maybe should. Don't forget also sitting at Disney around Disneyland at nighttime. Ooh, glorious. Taking it in is just heaven. It is like chill. Ooh, nighttime at Disneyland is a rare breed and I love it so much. I would also recommend you just like do a little drive around on the monorail, but it's currently down and I think it's down for a minute. But that is a fun way I like to get a little bit of like chill Epcot whimsy into my day-to-day life. Now, to hit up the coffee that you mentioned. Oh, before I do that, I do want to mention, don't sleep on the caramel corn that is sold in Downtown Disney. It's Werther's, just like at Epcot. And it's a really great sweet treat to toss in your bag, where if you only want like a few bites of dessert and then you want to move on with your day and kind of spread the joy out. That's something I personally like to do. To answer your coffee question. So I can't have two sweet coffees in a day. So when I do Disneyland, I'll usually have one like business coffee and one party coffee, like business and pleasure coffee, truly. I'll start the day with like serious coffee and I'll later in the day have like a fun little coffee treat. Since you are not starting at home, obviously, there are limited options for like that serious coffee. The Starbucks in Downtown Disney used to be my favorite for like a grab and go non-themed coffee in the morning, just all business, get that caffeine in and get to the park. But the union busting happening there is extremely bleak and I have not seen an update otherwise. So I do not enter that facility at the moment. The ones in the park are staffed by cast members. It's a little bit of a different situation, and not to go off on a tangent, but those are more of a Disney establishment than a true Starbucks one outright. Even though like supporting Starbucks at all right now is a little bit questionable, I'm personally struggling on where I land with it, specifically inside the park, because it feels like, is it like, it's kind of Starbucks, but it's also kind of Disney. And a lot of times it's your best option. We don't have Joffrey's as readily available here at Disneyland Resort. I'm always like, but recently their whole thing where they were like, did you see the thing they're promoting using ChatGPT to like order your protein matcha? Like, that is so far from the wheelhouse of things I approve. But again, I'm not at full Starbucks blacklist yet. I do not respect the company right now. I'm really horrified by their actions. But as someone who travels a lot, I understand that it is very, very challenging to find an iced caffeinated coffee beverage that is not Starbucks, depending on like where you are, what airport you are at, etc. I was able to avoid it the entire trip at Dollywood. I am so excited about that, but that is not always the case. So again, I'm like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I did have to get it at Disneyland yesterday because there truly was not another option that was nearby. But again, I'm not feeling great about it. And I just wanted to say that on mic. Now for your fun coffee or your business coffee, I do want to mention people swear by that Pixar Place hotel coffee shop. I have not been there, but I would consider moseying over there if you have the time. Also just see the interior, see something new, like tickles your brain, like it does to mine. I think that's very fun. Otherwise, dealer's choice for that. As for iced coffee, there isn't really much of one that I'm freaking out about at the moment beyond the one I've already said I loved, which is the Black Cherry Tavern Cold Brew at Red Rose Tavern. It is chocolate cold brew with a black cherry topper. I think it is delicious. It is sweet, but not crazy sweet. It is really good. Otherwise, there is the Bluey, like dirt mud cake coffee, not for me. And then the cappuccino cart always has a bunch of standard drinks as well as something funky going on. Like they always have, like before they had banana syrup, which was fun. Now they have ube foam on a matcha, which is exciting. Like they always have something that feels like a local trendy coffee shop would have instead of kind of the standard theme park offerings. I always love, they had, before the banana one, no, it was the banana one because they had the Banoffee iced coffee. Ooh, that was good. Ooh, that one was good. I always try to mess with cappuccino cart to see what's up because they always have a fun option. What else? Oh, souvenirs. As I mentioned on this episode, I don't buy a lot of stuff. I don't personally buy a lot of souvenirs. I'm not really on the souvenir beat, but I have seen a lot of people talk about these new stickers that are at Downtown Disney. Stickers, easy to pack, affordable. I tend to go like keychain, sticker, patch. Those are the things I like to pick up, which is basically everything I got at Dollywood. Easy to pack and then like easy to emphasize something you already own. I love like buying a souvenir that could make something functional feel better. A keychain makes my car keys feel more fun. A sticker could make my laptop more exciting. Stuff like that is great. I would follow the Magical Millennial and also Chasing Magic Daily if you don't already. They're two lovely ladies, unaffiliated, but I just like them both. And they post a lot about merch at the parks. So I would, Chasing Magic Daily posted about the stickers. I just saw the video and was like, okay, I think these stickers are a thing that's happening. I would check that out. And that way you can kind of peruse from home before you are there. I hope you have the best trip. I think I answered most of your questions. If I didn't, you can call me back and yell at me and have so much fun. And if anyone's like, too many Disneyland calls, I have so many more that I'm going to get to. I promise, I promise, I promise. They are coming. Yeah. Okay. All right, bye. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this very special Dollywood episode. And for those of you who have been along with me on this whole freaking journey, we did it. We did it together. You are as big a part of this as I am. Delta is a huge part of it too. Unhappily, may I add, because Delta freaking Airlines. I have to talk to customer service today and I really don't want to do it because it's, I like being nice to customer service people because they're people just doing their jobs. But I also like, we got to get stuff done. We got to reach a middle ground. And I don't like having responsibility of that hanging over my shoulders. Anyway, you can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS about anything about Delta. Complain to me about airlines. I'd love to hear it. Talk to me about your summer plans. Are you on the fence about what restaurant to book on a Disney World trip? Are you thinking about maybe going to Epic Universe, but you're like, it might rain in the middle of the day. What do? Give me a call. 747-CHURROS. I'm happy to answer. If you are planning any of these trips, as always, do it with MEI Mouse Fan Travel. If you don't, you're literally doing yourself a disservice. They will make your life easier and they will try to find you the best deal. And if you've navigated the Disney World website lately to try to find out what the rates are, MEIMouseFanTravel.com. MouseFanTravel.com/music. Oh my God, I've been on vacation too long. See, I don't even remember the URL. I don't even remember my own URL. MouseFanTravel.com/music is where you want to go to make sure that you have the best trip possible because they will help you for all your Disney Cruise Line, Disney Parks, Universal Parks, truly anywhere you want to go, they will help you out. Hit them up. They are so fantastic and really great for those small questions where, you know, like you have dinner, you watch like two episodes of TV and then you're like, oh, I have to do that one task that's been hanging over me. Who wants to be Googling about like private car transfer if you have two car seats because you don't want to pack them? What would the pricing be versus if you just rented a car and rented the car seats with it? They will help you with all of that. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing. I'm telling you, the best way to go. Oh, that is a good slogan. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the FOMALY at Facebook.com facebook.com/group/CarlyMizell. Ooh, I have to go because, sorry, I'm recording this on Monday and we have like the bookworm thread on Mondays and I'm reading a new book and I want to post about it. Ooh, I love to be a part of the bookworm thread now that I'm in Rebecca Searle's book club. And you can subscribe to my Instagram at CarlyMizell. 99 cents a month. I posted a video about a week ago where I was like, you know how I always say that this is worth 99 cents a month? Here's why. And the commenters agreed. We're having a lot of fun there. I am going to be posting more. There's a way, like, it saves all your stories. I mostly post stories, but you can also post reels to feed. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. And we will have a private Q&A on the subscriber channel for all of your questions about Dollywood. And I usually go more in depth, even more than this, over there. And I answer your questions directly. So 99 cents a month. I mean, everyone seems really happy with it. I'm loving it. It's basically like just having a treehouse in the middle of the internet. And I love that so much. Yeah. Thank you all for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. This is an episode I can surely relate to. You're a planner, a great planner, and you do start off very chill, not saying anything. But before every trip, I get a daily itinerary made by you. I study this itinerary like a fine wine, like the Bible. I even print it out. This happens every trip. All right, here goes. We will be walking through the park, and I nonchalantly say, where are we going next? What's going on? Never, ever utter those words. Your head spun around not once, but twice, and you say, refer to your itinerary. So, I repeat, you do a fantastic job at planning. You plan so well that when things don't go exactly, it's sometimes hard to be chill. You do great. But when you don't put surprise meetings like John Stamos, what? It was not on my itinerary, but boy, was I excited. So whatever you're doing, honey, you just keep doing it because I think you are so amazing. You are a perfectionist. I totally agree. And I appreciate all that you do for me and for planning each trip to perfection. But we have had many situations that we can't prevent. We took Pearl once in early evening to go on some rides at Magic Kingdom. We were so excited. We were in line. And then an electrical problem happened and every single ride went down for over 3 hours. That's hard to swallow, telling a three-year-old, sorry, we have to leave. And the next morning we left. And I am not a photographer. I am not a photographer, but I try so hard to capture the right lighting for you and the right picture. And I mess up and I mess up a lot and things happen, but we do push the limit. You and I can go until we are thrown out of any park. We'll go to the last of the last. We both have enormous amounts of energy. We leave the hotel after dinner and we look at our watch. Oh, it's 9:20 and we jump and we go and we run and we make it for fireworks. We can still make Magic Kingdom. Doesn't matter. We will get there. And when we go, we make it. We make it every single time. It's not like, oh, we almost made it. We always make it. We run. We hike. We go. We invented the great race. In fact, we were almost on that. That was a thought at one point. Together, watch out. About the lightning lanes, I understand girl math 100%. If we are in Disneyland and the temperature is 85 to 95 degrees, you best believe lightning lane is worth anything in that amount. It's too hot for young kids. So after traveling hours and packing and rushing and it's hot, here's my credit card. Here's your credit card. Lightning lane immediately. Or, you know, Frozen will excite the kids so much. That's probably the highlight. Of course, we're going to get a lightning lane for that and not wait 2 hours in the sun. That's girl math well spent. Or when I go into Frozen gift shop and buy everything. Why? Because I get a discount with my membership. Girl math wins again. Great episode. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl.